We hear again one of the verses from Psalm 139. Where shall I go from your spirit, O Lord? Or where shall I flee from your presence? In the name of Jesus. What should we want to be the last word spoken about us here on earth? Those glorious eulogies of a politician, perhaps, where all the money that he or she voted to spend for bridges and buses and schools, of all the programs he or she set up to organize people's lives, those eulogies where a man is always the kindest, most caring, ready to help anybody. What do you want to be the last word spoken about you? The last words on earth to be spoken over you and me, not the glorious eulogy cataloging the good and whitewashing the bad, but the actual words rightly describing you and me, the realistic words showing the good and the bad, the joy and the fear. These last words spoken concerning you and me, as our bodies wait to be lowered into the ground, with the pastor standing a few feet away from the empty rectangular hole, the family and loved ones with tears in their eyes standing there too, and the pastor will then say, "May God the Father, who created this body, may God the Son, who by his blood redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism sanctified this body to be his temple, keep these remains to the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Amen." Nothing there about how this guy being lowered into the ground loved fishing and loved watching the Broncos or something like that. Nothing about how much charity he gave or how his smile always lit up the room. Nothing about how he will now be fishing or golfing or whatever with the angels in heaven. Really, not much at all about the man, except that this body was created by God the Father, redeemed by God the Son, and sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. Entering the ground, the body is commended to the God who resurrects it on the last day. Beautiful words, extolling the Lord's gifts of life in this world of sorrow. These are the words to be spoken over you and me. They show the good and the bad. The bad, that's right there. That's the sin and the death. Death, it's foreign. It doesn't belong to us, not according to our creation by the God who made us. He made us to live in these bodies and enjoy life and bring forth life. We sinned. We brought sin into all creation because we were God's image in creation. Sin brought death. The dead body being let into the ground, that shows the sin belonging to all of us. But the body being led into the ground, it is commended to the God of life. This is the good. So these last words on earth, spoken about us, over us, concerning us, they show us where we live. We can say they show us our address, even now. We do, of course, all have addresses. For us now, it may happen to be Albuquerque. The addresses among us include, in earlier times, places we've lived of Texas and California or whatever. You can add up the places belonging to different ones of us. Idaho, Wyoming, England, Germany, wherever, depending on where our vocations have taken us. But the one address common to all of us is the one that we professed in the psalm. Where shall I go from your spirit, O Lord? Where shall I flee from your presence? Psalm 139:7. When David wrote this psalm, his address would have been, of course, Jerusalem. But he wrote of a different address that he belonged to. In the psalm, he wrote, "Where, O Lord, shall I flee from your presence?" But the translation has softened it. In his language, David did not reference God's presence at all. In the Hebrew that David speaks, what he said is much more stark, more located. He said, "Where, O Lord, shall I flee from your face?" David's life is at the face of God. When he was running in the wilderness, hiding from Saul, he was at the face of God. When he knelt down for Samuel the prophet to anoint him king of Israel, David was at the face of God. When he married his first wife, it was at the face of God. David's adultery with Bathsheba, it was in a private bedroom, but at the face of God. His conversation with the prophet Nathan, where Nathan pronounced him forgiven of that adultery, clean of all sin, it happened in David's palace, but it was at the face of God. "Where shall I flee, O Lord, from your face?" said David. David's whole life is at the face of God. So is yours. So is mine. That's where we live our lives, whether we know it or not. Our address may be Albuquerque or Dallas or Denver or wherever, but we always live at the face of God. We see here the severity of our sin. Wouldn't it have been better for David if, when he was committing adultery with Bathsheba, he was able to keep that in the bedroom without God being involved? But his sin, hidden from the world, was at the face of God, and so is ours. The news on that front is harsh. But these bodies of ours, they were created by God the Father, and our lives are redeemed by the blood of God the Son. And the Holy Spirit has had water poured over these bodies of ours and words spoken into our ears. And he has cleansed us, made us holy, even while we at the same time live in bodies of sin. So Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? You are not your own. You were bought with a price," 1 Corinthians 6:15. The blood of Christ, that's what bought you. So Nathanael was one day sitting under his fig tree in his backyard. He was in the shade reading Torah. That is, he was reading the Holy Scriptures. He was reading of the creation in Genesis, of deliverance in Exodus. Nathanael was reading of salvation given to such names as Ruth and Tamar, Jacob and Joseph, David, and of the lineage of David that belongs to the Messiah. That's what you do in the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. You sit in your little tabernacle under your fig tree and you read Torah. For in the Holy Scriptures, God is with you. He's coming to you in those words, and you are with him. You're at the face of God. John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus saw him. He was with him. Nathanael's under a fig tree reading the Scriptures, but he's at the face of God. That's our address. That's where we live. Even while in Albuquerque, as we live in this world which does not know God, even as we live in a generation that is so opposed to God's gifts, so hostile to God's creation of man and woman and his gift of marriage and family, a generation unwilling to protect the weakest among us, including the babies in the womb, even as we live in a time of doubt, with everybody ready to turn on neighbor at the first hint of something said wrong, even as we live here at the same time, we live at the face of God. And at the face of God, we must know our sin, for how can sin ever be any worse than if God is right here with us? But at the same time, living at the face of God, we hear his voice, and it is the voice of his gospel. It is the voice of God the Father who created our bodies, and God the Son who redeemed these bodies, and God the Holy Spirit who cleanses and sanctifies our bodies with baptism and the Word. In hearing his word of gospel, we know that this God, the God of life, loves us. He loves even our bodies. And when we are found in our sin, he wants nothing more than to forgive and cleanse and sanctify us, so that in the midst of death, we know that we belong to the God of life. Where shall I go from your spirit, says David? Where shall I flee from your face? That's where we live, at the face of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. In the name of Jesus, amen.